This show is sponsored by Midi Health. There are great things that come with age: wisdom, experience, and knowledge, just to name a few. But if you're a woman over 40, it can also bring some less desirable things like hot flashes, insomnia, brain fog, moodiness, and weight gain, all symptoms of menopause and perimenopause. Yes, hormonal transition is a fact of life, but that doesn't mean you have to accept its symptoms as just another part of aging. Midi clinicians are menopause experts, equipped to support you with safe, effective, FDA-approved medications, as well as supplements, lifestyle coaching, and preventative health guidance. You'll come out of the experience feeling heard and with a plan to start feeling better. Midi offers accessible care. All their services are covered by insurance, and they're conveniently accessible through telehealth visits and 24/7 messaging. You deserve to feel great. Book your virtual visit today at joinmidi.com. That's joinmidi.com.
You got to take a listen to this. It's Squawk Pod.
That's right. CNBC's flagship business news show is a podcast, Squawk Pod.
This is CNBC Control 2.
It is not just the show, folks.
It might be even better because it's only audio.
Join me, Katie Kramer, as I take you inside the Squawk Box control room and beyond the headlines of our TV broadcast with Joe Kernan, Becky Quick, and Andrew Ross Sorkin every weekday.
Roll alpha.
Listen to CNBC's Squawk Pod free on the Odyssey app.
Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
I got a problem with this Carlos Mendoza-constructed Met lineup 3 hours before first pitch. We'll address it in a few minutes. But first, it's Cinco time.
Cinco de Fivo with Evan and Tiki on The Fan.
Cinco de Fivo brought to you by Helix Wireless. Connecting everything, everywhere. All right, Mets fans. Maybe you're in a little traffic, as you just heard, approaching Citi Field. Tonight, an enormous Game 3 of the NLCS, and I'm here to give you the five leaders the Mets need here in Game 3.
The five leaders. Where does Positive Tommy fall
on
the list?
We'll find out. Here we go.
Here we go!
Number five.
It's still Grimace who makes this list. His image is everywhere. His image is in Times Square today. He has led this team all year. His face and presence should be paramount tonight.
Grimace, you're our lucky charm.
Yeah, I saw that Grimace billboard out in Times Square. Pete Alonso showing a lot of love to Grimace. The Empire State Building lit up in purple. So as much as this bothers Tiki, the Grimace gimmick has lasted.
No, it's passe.
Well, maybe it'll passe to a win. Here we go.
Number four.
Luis Severino. In his last LCS start in 2022, he went 5 1/3, allowing 3 runs. He did lose the game, but he does have experience for this moment.
Yeah, so here's my view on Sevy. His last few postseason starts have been 6 innings, 3 runs. I believe that that would be acceptable. Because I think the Mets have to hit Walker Buehler. They have to. And they've got to hit this Dodger bullpen like they did in Game 2. So 6 innings, 3 runs. Now, the way it happened in Philly was a little frustrating because he dominated and then all of a sudden gave up the 3 runs. Yeah. So sometimes it's how it happens. But I think a 6-inning, 3-run Sevy special would be very solid. And if the bats are doing what we expect from them, should be enough.
All right, here we go.
Number three.
All right, the number three leader the Mets need in Game 3. It's Carlos Mendoza. Evan's going to get to the lineup in a little bit, but when to pull Sevy in this spot, the right numbers dialed up in the bullpen tonight. And also remember, this will be Carlos Mendoza's first crack at managing a postseason series where games are played on 3 straight days in terms of how you figure out what to do with the bullpen.
Well, that's not true.
When?
The wild card series?
Oh, my God, I forgot all about the wild card. Not the ball
thing. I mean, my God.
Never mind. Second time ever.
And by the way,
first time versus a real opponent.
Not just... Stop. Don't do the real opponent thing.
You're right.
Not just the wild card series, but even leading into the wild card series, they had to play every freaking day. They didn't even have an off day going into the postseason because of that doubleheader.
All right. Regardless, the point
stands. Sean's having a tough Cinco.
Number two.
It's Francisco Lindor. Because the last time we saw him in a big at-bat at City, a big at-bat at Citi Field, we know what happened. What can the encore look like in the LCS? Yeah.
Lindor has been great, and you almost forget the fact that he couldn't bend over a few weeks ago because of that back issue.
Yeah. Yep. Or just wanted some time off before the playoffs.
You think that was a trick?
I don't know.
You think Lindor was saying, you know what, guys, I'm going to give you some confidence. Play without me these important games. I'll be back.
And last but not least.
Number one.
When you think about this year of Met baseball, the leader. somebody that you should follow, something you should follow. Game three, it's all about the uniforms tonight. The black uniforms are number one. They need to lead the Mets into the nostalgia of the late 90s, early 2000s. The last time that we had a Subway Series, the black uniforms are paramount. Those vibes are going to be paramount at Citi Field. The black uniforms are the biggest
thing. Yeah, they're wearing the black uniforms tonight. They usually do that on Friday nights, but Sevy is a fan of the black uniforms, and so the starting pitcher sometimes gets to make that
decision.
Do
we know his record with the black uniform?
I don't know, but I can tell you that Sevy's been a very good home pitcher. His numbers at Citi Field, which is a part of at least my thinking in deciding this rotation that the Mets had time to set up, because they could have set this up a million different ways. Right. Everybody was at least ready rest-wise to pitch whenever you wanted. But if you look at Sevy, some of his best starts this season have been at Citi Field.
Yeah.
So I'm sure his numbers are good only because he's got good numbers at Citi.
And I think he wore the black uniforms twice. It was mainly the Citi Connect, but I think those are ineligible for playoff.
Is that true? They're ineligible?
I don't quote me on that, but I think that's why he chose the black uniforms.
I'm glad that they are, and I'll tell you why.
Yeah, it would make sense for them not to be.
They are a Saturday uniform, so that they would wear that on Saturdays. I'll tell you why, and this bothers me from experience. And I know that the series ended up not being remembered well, but remember when Kevin Durant had that incredible Game 5 performance in the NetBucks series? It was like an all-worldly...
Oh, yes.
Okay. What kind of killed me in that game was they were wearing those stupid alternates.
Yeah.
And I'm like, wait a second, this moment that's going to live in my brain forever, and they're wearing that... If the Mets had some kind of epic playoff victory tonight, epic, like, they're down three in the ninth inning, walk off, if they're wearing those Connects, which I don't even hate, but they're just, they're gimmicky.
It doesn't look like the Mets.
It would bother me.
Yeah.
So I'm actually glad. The black uniforms don't bother me because they have a history.
Of course. I'm fired up to watch the black uniforms. So that's it. That's your five leaders and the only five leaders Mets fans.
So Tommy didn't even make the list. Yeah.
I believe in positive Tommy.
I had a lot of meetings late last night, which is part of the reason I stayed up late.
Yeah.
Met fans have turned on Tommy.
They've turned on Tommy? How are they turning on Tommy?
Why?
If you notice his tweet last night or this morning.
What was the tweet?
He gives the positive Tommy tweet about the Mets a lot less likes than usual. The fact is Mets fans feel abandoned.
Oh, hold on a second.
No, I'm going to finish the point.
Okay.
Because he decided to take some positivity towards the Jets before this Mets job was finished.
I think what also happened is a lot of those Mets fans were like him.
Yeah.
Think about who follows you. People like you.
Yeah.
So they were Mets giant fans.
Yeah, that's true. And also, think about this. We all love our favorite restaurants or favorite shops. What happens when they start expanding, becoming franchise? They lose a little something,
quality.
Right?
You lose quality.
He's overextended the positive brand.
But in fairness, positive Tommy with the Jets has not fully started yet. I offered him that yesterday. He gladly accepted to be our leader of the positive Jet movement. But so far, he has not engaged yet in the same tweets over and over again about the Jets.
The
so
power of the radio, Evan.
Yeah,
the
no, he said his intention is to start it, but hasn't started it yet.
So vigorously, so enthusiastically.
I think I could compare this. It's very apples to apples. Evan, we did 2 days' worth of shows, and we found out Aaron Rodgers may consider running as the running mate for RFK Jr., and your head exploded. How is he going to do both?
Right.
That's what's going on with Met fans right now. How is he going to do both? So even if he hasn't started, his mere acceptance, some Met fans, I'm just telling you, I had many reach out to me, feel abandoned.
Number one, my numbers are great. I'm running very strong in Long Island. You can't catch me in Kew Gardens. In Queens, I'm just phenomenal. Record-breaking.
How are those rallies going?
They're amazing. They're packed to the rafters. That's number one. Number two, we just alluded to it earlier. I have the Knicks starting next week. I have the Jets. I have the Mets. There's plenty of positivity to go around. I will be able to handle it. Along with my, what was I calling it again? The positivity posse.
See?
We will do it.
See, he's overextended. He doesn't even remember the names of the people around.
Well, I just came up with that one yesterday, so I forgot.
Just saying. Don't shoot the messenger.
All right, well, thank you, Sean.
All right,
I still believe in positive Tommy. That's all that matters. Because what's funny is when you get closer to game time, my natural instinct is to turn negative, which is just the way I am as a fan.
And I don't think it'll happen today for our show, thankfully, because the game is a little bit later.
Uh-huh.
So you're not even going to be seeing pregame while we're sitting here watching SNY. It's not going to happen until much later. So you'll be positive this whole show.
Yeah, you're wrong. I'm already negative. And I'll tell you why.
You're already negative.
Because I don't like what Mendy did with this lineup. And he did warn us, if you paid attention, yesterday during his off-day press conference, he alluded to the fact that he's likely going to get J.D. Martinez into the lineup. And here's the reality with J.D. Martinez. He hasn't been awful during the postseason. He's just been a Punch and Judy singles hitter. So he's not going through an 0 for 33 anymore.
Yeah.
But he hasn't had an extra base hit. And meanwhile, Jesse Winker has.
Right. And he's got this.
If your day sounds like,
we need the report ASAP.
You deserve Modelo. If you've persevered through, you deserve this rich golden lager with a crisp but refreshing taste. Or if you overcame,
two more.
You deserve this ice cold reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
This is the secret story of a young Russian oligarch who hacked his way to a $93 million fortune. I'm CNBC senior Washington correspondent Eamon Javers. In our new podcast, The Crimes of Putin's Traitor, I'll take you inside a shocking Russian crime targeting the American financial system. Attacks that sources tell me were welcomed by Vladimir Putin's government. Listen to CNBC's The Crimes of Putin's Traitor free on the Odyssey app.
This show is sponsored by Midi Health. There are great things that come with age: wisdom, experience, and knowledge, just to name a few. But if you're a woman over 40, it can also bring some less desirable things like hot flashes, insomnia, brain fog, moodiness, and weight gain, all symptoms of menopause and perimenopause. Yes, hormonal transition is a fact of life, but that doesn't mean you have to accept its symptoms as just another part of aging. MIDI clinicians are menopause experts, equipped to support you with safe, effective, FDA-approved medications, as well as supplements, lifestyle coaching, and preventative health guidance. You'll come out of the experience feeling heard and with a plan to start feeling better. MIDI offers accessible care. All their services are covered by insurance, and they're conveniently accessible through telehealth visits and 24/7 messaging. You deserve to feel great. Book your virtual visit today at joinmidi.com. That's joinmidi.com.
Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
Swag.
Yes!
Jesse.
And he's got good numbers against Walker Buehler, including two career home runs against him. J.D. Martinez doesn't have a bad career numbers, just has barely faced him. So this feels forced by Carlos Mendoza. I mean, this feels, hey, let me just get the veteran in there. I've got a good feeling. Meanwhile, Jesse Winker has earned being the everyday DH throughout this series against the Dodgers until he's lost it. And quite frankly, to me, he hasn't lost it yet.
Maybe he'll be a quick hook, quick replacement at some point.
Here's a problem with that. So I'm glad you brought that up. The Dodgers only have one left-hander. And the only time you're pinch hitting for Jesse Winker is if the left-hander Anthony Banda comes into the game.
Right.
So if you're going to pinch hit with, and he doesn't pinch hit for JD with Winker. Like, he never does that anyway. So even if there is a situation where you pinch hit for him against a righty, he's already starting against a righty.
What if JD is just bad? Just looks bad.
He's not going to pinch hit for him. He rarely has.
But this is different.
Is it?
Of course. It's a championship series.
He didn't pinch
hit. There's a lot more at stake.
He didn't pinch hit for him in game four against the Phillies. I go back to that game. I got to look it up on my scorecard and remember why I was pissed about that. Hold on one second. Because I was at the time. I just don't remember the reason why. Oh, yeah. Oh, it actually worked out. That's the funny part. Sixth inning, down 1-0. J.D. Martinez is now facing Jeff Hoffman. Why is he staying in the game? Now, J.D. let off a little boop single to right field, but I do remember being angry about that.
Right.
He doesn't pinch hit for J.D. Martinez. So when you make the decision to play him, you're committing to him. And I just don't think he's the best option. Now, I hope I'm wrong. Like, the beauty of baseball is J.D.'s a veteran. He's been around before. And maybe he goes 3 for 5 with a home run. If that's the case, trust me, I'll be the most ecstatic guy, and I'll give all the flowers needed to Carlos Mendoza. But in this moment, less than 3 hours before first pitch, I don't love it. Even positive Tommy doesn't love it. Right, Tommy?
But that's it, though.
What?
That's the only little thing that you're worried about, is the potential lack of production from J.D. Martinez, who's been, quote, punching Judy. And not enthusiastic and I don't know, as energetic as Winker has been.
Not as good as Jesse Winker.
I know, but energetic as well. Because, I mean, good is fine, but it's the energy that he brings.
Well, hitting the ball over the fence gives me a lot of energy.
You know what I mean? So that's your one gripe. And that's making you fully negative on the whole game?
No, No. The fully negativity is just being a Met fan and thinking about that sinking feeling of walking into Citi Field and the Tide series and seeing Shohei Ohtani and seeing Mookie Betts and just the nervousness of the playoffs.
You don't want to be cold.
I don't care about that, by the way.
Are you sure?
I do not care about the cold.
What is the story I heard? You got, like, long johns?
Who, me?
You got...
Oh, dude, I am so prepared. So what I did...
Got everything.
I am the most prepared guy for these cold weather games. And I would advise anybody, I think most people have left to go to the stadium, but if you haven't yet left, hear me out, okay? The temperatures are going to be in the high 40s and the low 50s. Can you confirm that, by the way, Sean? Because my Weather Channel app is very, very spotty.
That's cold.
Right now, it's 57, and at game time, 49 degrees. Okay, that's what I have. So it's going to be cold.
We agree with a real feel of 46.
Real feel of 46.
Is there wind?
That's a great question, because there was a lot of wind with the Yankees the other day.
I think 49 to 46 would indicate to me, on the barometer, not a lot of wind, because it's only a 3-degree difference in wind chill.
Oh, I got what you're saying. Okay. Yeah.
It's really humidity that makes it feel colder.
Oh, jeez. This has now become a weather discussion. Just tell me if I'm going to be cold or not.
10-mile-an-hour wind, gust of up to 19.
That's a lot, bro. Sean, stop talking weather. You don't know what you're talking about. That's a windy day. So what I have done, because I already parked at Citi Field, and I took the train here to do this job, and then I'm going to take the train back to Citi Field. In my car, I got long johns, I got sweatpants, I got gloves, and I got hand warmers. I got a skull hat. I am so freaking ready for this weather, and I love this weather because, to me, this is October baseball. If it's 75 degrees, it doesn't feel real.
What do you drink on October baseball?
A lot of water, and then I go to the bathroom a lot.
I'm a loser.
I'm not talking about, like, for hydration.
Oh.
If you're at a baseball game and it's chilly,
mm-hmm.
what do you drink?
I think that all you do is you just keep pounding beers. Who cares?
Beers? But beers are cold.
So what? The moment you have 10 of them, you feel warm.
Tiki, didn't you play in the NFL?
Yeah, but I wasn't drinking in the stands.
That's true. He had all the clothes on.
I'm sitting on a heated bench. I felt bad for the fans.
If you have enough where your mind is right, you don't feel a thing, warm or cold.
Run the bases like drunks.
Not whiskey?
Whiskey?
Dude,
Whiskey will warm you up more. Right. Tiki's right in that perspective.
But it just you take a shot of whiskey, you just feel like, whoa, that felt good.
But do you really need that? We already got a playoff game to warm you up.
I mean, yes.
I don't need that.
You definitely need that. You're a nervous wreck. You need something to calm you down, a tummy or something.
When I've tried the whiskey in the past, I told you I tried that before Game 7 Nets Bucks. It just gave me a headache. I'm all right. Trust me, I'm fine, like, weather-wise. I like the cold weather. Even scoring the game. Hand gets a little cold. I got these hand warmers. The hand warmers are the greatest thing ever invented. You rub it. Now, you don't want to rub it too much, because if you rub it too much...
888-808-909.
You'll go blind?
No, but I have to clean up what I'm about to say because it's actually true. But you guys are going to get dirty about it. So if you rub the hand warmer too much, it explodes. And the nuggets of it, I'm telling you.
I'm a loser.
The hand warmers break and like these things come out. Like these little black pellets come out of the bag, and it's a mess.
You might want to see a doctor about that.
Got to clean it up before your parents get in there.
But you guys are something else. I'm talking about hand warmers.
Sounds exactly what Pat Boyle was doing after work.
In fact, you want to bring one in? I'll give you an example. I got the hand warmers in my bag. If you rip at it too much, they break. And if they break, it's a mess. I'm telling you right now.
Let's not explode hand warmers in the studio.
Okay. I'm telling you, this is how I'm preparing. But weather-wise, Teak, I'm fine. I'm just nervous about the magnitude of the game. Mm-hmm. I mean, think about what's on the line here. It is a tied-up National League Championship Series. It is a Game 3 in your own building. If you're having a fantasy or a dream of the Mets winning the pennant at home, they got to win the next three games.
Right.
If you want to go back to L.A. with a 3-2 lead, they got to win the next two games. If you want to avoid the indignity of the Dodgers celebrating on our field, they got to win a game. And the Dodgers are still pains in the asses. Shohei Ohtani, as much as I want to chant mean things at him, like, where's your bookie? Where's your bookie? Like, he still scares me.
He should scare you.
He's a tremendous player. You know what I need right now?
A shot of whiskey.
Positive Nancy.
Uh-oh.
Hi, Positive Nancy. How are we feeling tonight, baby?
What's up, Nancy?
Oh, my God. Yeah, you know what? I'm listening to you guys, and I'm like, I'm getting nervous. But a few hours before game time, do you know what time it is?
game time.
It's time to crank up the positivity level because the Dodgers are in our house and we're going to do some October cleaning. We're going to wipe up the floor with Ohtani, Freddie Freeman, and the rest of those losers.
Yeah!
I like it.
Yeah!
Where's your enthusiasm
I hope
like
you're
that?
Positive now. I know positive Tommy is. I want you to, you know, get positive also.
All right. I'm not really positive, but I want to tell you I am because I feel like letting Nancy down is like I can't let her down. So, yes, yay, I feel good.
Do you co-sign that positivity, Tommy?
Absolutely. Mets win tonight.
Mm. You got a final score prediction?
That didn't sound very positive.
7-4, Mark Vientos hits a two-run homer. That's my prediction.
Hmm. What about you, Teague?
I haven't thought about it yet.
Oh, you want to give it some time?
Yeah, give me time.
Right. 6 o'clock tonight, Tiki will let us know his official prediction. Sean, Edwin Diaz blowing the game tonight? His go-to.
No. Mm. Severino gets roughed up a bit, but the Mets prevail late in this game and win this game something like 7-5.
Reverse psychology.
Okay.
No, it's really not. I've always given you my gut feel.
Yeah, no, I believe it's reverse psychology, too, because earlier in the show, you could rewind on the Odyssey app. We had a caller say, hey, Met fans and Yankee fans should have an olive branch in case they play in the World Series before that. And Sean refused to shake the hands of Met fan Positive Tommy. Well, Positive Tommy put his hand out and said, I'll shake your hand.
I don't shake hands with Jet fans.
Jet fans.
I think it also should be noted that Evan will be in the building tonight.
Yes.
Positive Tommy will be in the building tonight.
Oh, you're going?
I'll be there. Sal Licata will be there tonight.
Yeah, who bought you a ticket tonight?
Don't worry about it. Oh, I know who. Nunya business. Don't worry about what I'm doing. But Sal will be there as well.
Sal's there too. Okay.
I think Alson Tron. So there'll be a lot of Met fans that work here at WFAN. We'll all be there. So a lot of positivity. I'm wearing a good vibes only sweatshirt. Okay. We're ready to rock.
All right.
What could go wrong?
Nothing could go wrong, possibly.
Evan will bust a few hand warmers. We'll be good.
Yes, I got a lot of hand warmers. I brought extras just in case they break. You know, I described how easy it is for them to bust and break. Well, that's why I'm bringing six of them. Let's go
to crank up.
Okay. Let's go to Zach in Massapequa. What's up, Zach?
Real quick, if we're bringing positivity to Citi Field tonight, leave Sal at home.
Poor Sal.
Right.
I mean, Alonzo could hit a home run and he'd be like, it didn't look cool enough.
Sal at home!
Anyway, yes. My main point, I am worried just like you, Evan. I mean, what is J.D. Martinez doing in this lineup? He can't hit. I mean, he's hitting singles every week he hits one. And then he can't run the bases.
Yeah.
You put him on first base. What are we doing? He's not getting to third. He's not scoring.
It just doesn't make sense.
But doesn't it feel like gut?
Yeah. Well,
Mindy's been pretty good with his gut.
He has been.
So, can't you just trust his gut?
Well, I've got
if
no.
If it doesn't work, you got time.
I've got no other choice but to trust it because that's the lineup he put together. But there's no good reason to start him other than he has a gut feeling.
Yes.
Okay, well, J.D. Martinez hasn't in the postseason. He hasn't had an extra base hit in what feels like over a month. Jesse Winker's hit two career home runs against Walker Buehler. J.D. Martinez has barely faced Walker Buehler. When he has, he's 0-3 with two strikeouts. So, again, you're right. Like, Mendy could turn out to be right. I hope he is. But I'm just giving you every reason, and even you are shaking your head like, it kind of makes sense. Yeah. Every reason on why it's not a good decision to start.
Of course it's not, but at some point you just have to trust the gut of your manager. And J.D. Martinez has a long history in Major League Baseball and being, I don't want to say clutch, but being an important piece of successful squad. So
that is the reason, by the way. What you just laid out is why, because this was talked about. I certainly talked about it on the Rico a few days ago about JD not even being on the postseason roster. Mm-hmm. That because the Dodgers are so right-handed, what do you need him for? And my fallback to why I would have him on the roster is everything you just said. He is a veteran. He's a major leaguer. He's got great experience. And you're hoping that if you need him, he can get hot at the right time. So I agree with all that, but not enough to play him over Jesse Winker in Game 3 of the NLCS.
Yeah, but it's funny because we talked Mindy obviously was under Boone for a while, and maybe he just looked across the city and saw what Boone did with Rizzo, and he got kind of I don't know. That's a good idea.
Yeah, but Anthony Rizzo is their best option. J.D. Martinez is not their best option. Anthony Rizzo is their clear best option at first base. Once he's healthy, you have to play him.
But given what he's asked to do, I mean, obviously Rizzo's being asked to be a first baseman. The gravy is that he's actually hitting 450 or whatever it is in the postseason. But in 2018, J.D. Martinez was a champion too.
No, but even now. Even now in 2024, I still would rather have Anthony Rizzo at first base over John Birdie and Oswaldo Cabrera.
Of course.
Like J.D. Martinez right now is not better than Jesse Winker. He just isn't. And what also scares me, as I pointed out earlier, is Mendy has not shown a propensity to pinch hitting for J.D. Just look it up. Like when J.D. starts, he ends up playing. Now, is that going to change in the seventh inning of a tie game, 2-1, 2-out?
Depends on how good or bad his at-bats are.
Yeah. Well, we'll see. Michael Kopech's on the mound. Is he going to go to Jesse Winker?
Can't you just trust your manager?
No, I need to be honest with my manager. And then if I'm wrong, I own it. And if I'm right, I say I told you so.
Okay, but he's not wrong yet.
His thinking is wrong.
According to whom?
According to, like, facts.
To your opinion.
Look, I own it. So when I said to you earlier, hey, remember when he didn't pinch it for him in game four and I quickly went back to my scorecard? It worked out. J.D. ended up getting the leadoff hit that started that inning, but I still think it was a bad move. I still would have gone to Jesse Winker at that point.
Right.
Let's go to Ryan in Maplewood, New Jersey. What's up, Ryan?
Evan, I got a question, I got a request for an apology, and then I got a lot to say. Okay?
All right.
So question is, when is the last time you went into a Mets game thinking, they're absolutely going to win this game, I'm positive. I'm thinking this is going to go my way. I'm going to say 25 years ago.
I'll give you the answer. I'm going to give you the answer, and I hope that answer teaches you a very important lesson. Are you ready?
Yeah, go ahead.
Game 7, 2006 NLCS against the Cardinals.
Okay, so I wasn't far off 18 years ago. Right.
No, but what happened?
25 years
but
ago.
What
hold
happened?
Hold on. Hold on. Hold on. Hold on. Hold on. You told me last week, when I called in with my son in the car on the way to the game, that you thought they're going to lose. And guess what? Everyone said they were going to win. And then you hung up on me. What happened to you?
Right.
What happened to you? You're not the manager. Trust the manager. Listen to Tiki. Trust the guy.
Well, Ryan, I trust him. I think Mendy's done a great job. I'm still going to give you my opinion on what I disagree with. Like, Mendy's not perfect. He isn't. He's done great, but he's not perfect.
He's a first-time manager. And so he's doing what first-time managers do. Sometimes he'll go analytics, and sometimes he'll go with his gut.
Now, one thing I also disagreed with Carlos Mendoza about, I have not made a big deal of it because it's the past, but I didn't want to start Kodai Senga in game one.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I guess I may have turned out to be right. By the way, speaking of Kodai Senga, he is in line to pitch game five. Carlos Mendoza has given us a little bit of information on what his plan may be for Kodai Senga in a Game 5. We'll find out what that is, plus more of your calls as we get you set for Game 3 of the National League Championship Series between the L.A. Dodgers and the New York Mets. The toll-free number is 888-808-1019. How we feeling? How we feeling tonight? It's a nice off day for the Yankee fans. They took care of business over the last two evenings at Yankee Stadium with back-to-back W's. And now the Mets get set to play three straight nights. Think about that for a second. Think about what we've had just in our very own city and area. Sunday night, we had the New York Giants hosting a Sunday night football game. Mm-hmm. Lowest rated Sunday night football game in 4 years, by the way. Then on Monday night.
Makes sense.
It does make a lot of sense. It was going up against the Mets.
Right.
Then you had the Jets hosting a Monday night game, along with the Yankees hosting game one of the ALCS, followed on Tuesday with the Yankees hosting the ALCS, followed on Wednesday, Thursday, Friday with the Mets hosting the NLCS.
It's a lot going on.
That is.
And then Saquon returning Sunday.
And Saquon returns Sunday, and then we'll see if the Yankees have to play.
And the Liberty and the Lynx tonight.
Yeah, was that? That game's on the road, though, right?
Yes, it's in Minnesota.
Okay.
Yeah, because 1-2 are.
Yeah.
And the series is tied 1-1.
1-1, so a big one tonight for the Libs.
And it's best of five.
Yes.
Okay.
Soon as go to best of seven, I heard, though.
Next year.
Good.
Yeah, the TV revenue's pumping in.
I think they should. I think they absolutely should. Okay. What a sports scene we have going on. Before we get back to your calls, Kodai Senga has been a part of the discussion over the last few days. The decision to start him in game one, obviously he struggled. And now the question's been, what do you do in game five? Carlos Mendoza was asked about that. What was his answer, Sean?
Okay, so Carlos Mendoza, as you just said, asked about it, said that he will be used, this is from Mike Puma, using Kodaisek in some capacity in Game 5, whether it's a starter or bullpen. So he's going to be used no matter what.
Yeah, so I think that means he's going to start.
But what's the reasoning behind that?
Which aspect?
He's going to start, obviously. It makes no sense for him to come out of the bullpen because it's not something he's ever done.
Right.
Correct? So what would be the point of not just saying he's going
to
start for us?
Gamesmanship. You don't necessarily need to announce your starting pitcher. And also leave your options open. Can I give you an example of where this could change? So to me, David Peterson needs to be available out of the bullpen tonight and tomorrow. He's a big part of this bullpen. The Dodgers have some fearsome left-hand hitters, specifically Ohtani and Freeman, and David Peterson can be a weapon. If David Peterson is used in tonight's game, or he's used in tomorrow's game, well, then you have no other option but to start Kodaisek in Game 5. I mean, it's either him or Tyler McGill.
Yeah.
But what if, Teague, the Mets don't use David Peterson for a variety of reasons? Mm-hmm. Maybe they get blown out tonight. Maybe they blow out the Dodgers tomorrow. Whatever the reason, Peterson is not used. He becomes a very viable starting option in Game 5.
Yeah, but then you're not using Kodaisek as a reliever, are you?
I probably not.
Right.
Probably not.
I mean, I get what he's doing. It is gamesmanship. It feels like it's one of the few tools that you have as a skip. It's just not to tell you what to expect. But I think it tells us exactly what we kind of already know. Kodaisek is going to be the starter.
I think he's likely going to be the starter, but just follow this and tell me if you would agree with me. Let's say Peterson isn't used today and tomorrow out of the bullpen. And so he's completely fresh.
Right.
Would you start David Peterson over Kodaisek in Game 5?
I mean, after what we just saw, I mean, I definitely would.
By the way, Peterson wasn't great either, if we're being fair.
No, true. But, I mean, they've moved them around in different roles for a lot this season. So it's, I don't want to say you excuse them because at this point, you just better be great whenever you're called upon. I don't know who I would prefer. It's probably David Peterson, but
there you go. That's my point.
It gets dicey.
I think that if Peterson is used, and I would aggressively use him over the next 2 days, so it's likely that Kodaisek is the best Met option to start Game 5 because I will have used David Peterson out of the bullpen aggressively today or tomorrow and or both days, which is unlikely, but you never know. If he isn't used, it's a very different discussion. And that's why if you're Carlos Mendoza or you're me just giving a sports opinion, let's see how the next two games play out. Because if you use David Peterson, then there's no decision to make. Right. Senga's making the start unless you want to push for Tyler McGill, which I would not do. So it'll be interesting, but to me, David Peterson's got to be an available weapon out of the bullpen both today and tomorrow against the Los Angeles Dodgers. Let us go to Mike in Cedar Grove. How are you today, Mike?
What's going on, guys?
Yo,
I want to tell you why the move is still beer in October. Are you ready?
Yes. Tell me.
Unlike July and August, when you get up to use the bathroom or something like that and you come back to your seat, the fans are on their feet and you reach between your legs to pick up your beer and it's still just as cold as when it came out of the fridge, that's how you know you're watching playoff baseball in the stadium. I'm a Yankee fan, but I'm rooting hardcore for the Mets because this is what we want. Yankees, Mets, World Series, October baseball, and ice cold beer. Screw the whiskey.
Right.
I like that.
Screw the whiskey.
Screw the whiskey, man.
I mean, some people like ice cold whiskey, too.
Well, how about whiskey and a hot chocolate tonight?
Mm.
Go to one of the bars, pour a shot in the hot chocolate.
That's a good idea.
Tiki.
The problem is it gets sweet.
So what?
And then, I don't know, whiskey is better neat.
Better neat than sweet.
And whiskey makes you frisky.
What are you guys having a rhyming contest?
Right. That's the thing.
Tiggy, if you were offered, and I know you've got enough power, you can have this offered anytime.
Yeah.
But if you had two tickets to tonight's game, 45 degrees, going to be a little windy, would you go? Not a suite, regular seats.
No.
See, this is, I can't believe this. The guy played in the NFL.
The guy played
football.
I had a conversation with my buddy Hoyman today. He's going with his kids and his brother.
Yeah.
And he's got good seats. And I'm like, dude, what are you going to do about the weather? And he's like, I'll be fine. Because he's tough, man. He's like, I don't care. But he's taking his kids.
Yeah.
And I said, well, you better figure out like the method to protect them. Otherwise, you're going to be out.
You're going to
be gone in four innings.
That's a really tricky proposition. In fact, tomorrow, I'm doing the same
thing.
You're
taking your kids.
I am bringing.
It's a tricky proposition.
I'm only bringing Jet. He's 8. I think Spence at 4. I'm going to bring him to a clincher if the Mets are fortunate to have one. So I'm bringing Jet tomorrow. And I'm very worried about this weather.
Yeah. Because they're not going to want to wear a jacket, but they're going to have to wear a jacket.
Got
to
wear a jacket.
And then it's probably going to get cold enough they're going to need gloves and a hoodie or a hat and a scarf or something.
Yep.
But then you got to lug that all there.
This is the
conversation I was having with Mike. I was like, what are you doing, dude?
The lugging part is not the problem. The problem is if your kid says, I'm cold, I want to go inside. Because we're not going inside. Mm. Not during a league championship series game. So your friend's son and my son, they're going to learn a lesson. They're going to learn a hard lesson. You're sticking through
it. Suck it up.
I was 9 years old, set out an opening day in the snow. Didn't blink, watched all nine innings.
96 opening day?
That's right.
How old were you?
I was born in 97. That was 97, 9 years old.
Yeah, you're 9 years old, you said. Okay.
Yeah. So, by the way, that's how you stick it out. You just learn.
That's old enough to, like, complain.
You know, I didn't know.
No, there's a big difference that you're forgetting, okay? So in 1996, if you went to Yankee Stadium, just like if I went to Shea Stadium, you're screwed. You don't have any choice, right? But in 2024, there's a club, there's a warm area, and as long as that exists, there's that possibility that you're being dragged there. When you were 9 and you said to your dad, I'm cold, he said, tough bleep.
Right, there's nowhere to go. What do you want me to do?
Yeah, what are we doing?
You're right, we've made it too easy for the kids now.
We've made it way too easy for the kids.
Mm-hmm.
So your friend's son and my son, they're going to learn.
By the way, how nice would a retractable roof be, a little 70-degree baseball
tonight? See, I disagree with that. I think this is a part of October baseball. It's a part of the charm. I look forward to the chill tonight.
In Texas last year, when they were in the ALCS and in the World Series, do you think they cared about it's cold in October?
They're Texans. No. They're soft. I'm talking about us as New Yorkers. Like, to me, October baseball is about the chill. I'll never forget. I forgot. I'll never forget. I went to Yankees Indians game 4 in 2007. That series we were talking about earlier, the Midget series.
Yeah.
This was the clincher. This is when the Indians beat the Yankees and they won the series. I don't know if anybody remembers the game. It was Joe Torre's final game as the Yankee manager. And I went to this game with my buddy Chad.
Okay.
And what I hated about the game is it was 87 degrees. And
why
I looked
you
at
hate
him
that?
Because that's not October baseball. That's not October baseball.
But it was beautiful.
Yeah, but it's an Indian summer, and they were playing the Indians at the time.
And
that's
you
funny.
Can have 6 beers and feel perfect.
That's a June night. That's not game 4 of the ALDS. No, I completely disagree. I like the chill. I like the coldish weather. I like the hand warmers. Justin's in Mayapak. How are you, Justin?
Hey, how you doing, boys?
We're good. What's up, man?
You guys make my commute home a little less painful, so thank you.
Oh, our pleasure.
Thank you. We appreciate it.
Tiki, I've been a fan for my whole life. My aunt and uncle Madeline and Gary Meyer work for the team.
Oh, nice.
So we used to go watch it.
Oh, that's very cool.
I had to get back to the hand warmers. You are on the money, Evan.
Mm.
I work in construction, and we put them in our gloves, you know?
Yes.
And if you play with them too much, man, they explode.
They explode, man.
I didn't realize it exploded in my glove. I wiped my head. You know, all my buddies are laughing at me.
No, that's the risk. Yeah, because it's these black pebbles that come out of it.
Yeah.
And so if you have it in your gloves, it's much easier to not notice it. What I get nervous about.
What are those things called?
I have no idea. I call them black pebbles because I don't know what they are. They look like sand, like little tiny bits of sand.
Yeah.
But what I'm worried about, and I'll hold it up for you guys watching on TV. I'm worried about the scorebook. Hmm. I can't have the black pebbles getting all over my scorebook. I got to keep it clean. I got to keep it neat. So that's the only negative of the hand warmers. He's right. You have it in your gloves, man, and you start rubbing it. Ooh.
Iron oxide.
Is that what it is?
Yeah.
Does that cause like diseases?
Yeah.
Does it?
Oxygen? No, it doesn't. I mean, if you ingest it, I'm sure it would.
I only did that once.
Oxygen in the air reacts with this powder to yield iron oxide.
Mm.
Rust and heat.
Yeah.
Rust. Hmm. Reach 160 degrees. Wow, these things can get up to like 200 degrees almost.
Yeah. Oh, they get very hot. Like if you rub them enough, they get so hot you can't touch it anymore.
Wow. That's interesting. been there.
Are you joining in on me and Tiki's rabbit hole experience? Uh-huh. Or do you have something to add?
I do have something to add.
Yeah.
Let me just say this.
Yeah.
I've been to plenty of cold games, some of us with more experience than others. Evan, it's 46 degrees. It's not 22 degrees. Can we calm down with the hand warmers?
So I'm so glad you brought that up. I can't explain this. I cannot explain this.
Mm-hmm.
There's a difference between baseball and football when it comes to temperatures. I have been to some of the most cold weather games ever happened in the history of the NFL. I was at Jets-Bengals final game at Giant Stadium. Dude, it was 2 degrees outside. I was at Jets-Steelers AFC Championship game. It was like 9 degrees outside. So trust me, I get it. This is nothing compared to those games, but there's like a mentality that's just different. 45 degrees at City Field.
It's because you don't want to be cold. You're not expecting to be cold yet.
I think it's the game you're watching. I think it's baseball. It's like you can't, like, think about it.
Yeah, you're not cheering every play.
Think about how crazy this is.
Whereas in football, you could be, you're reacting almost every play. Like, oh.
Maybe.
Or, what's it? Like,
is that how you react?
In baseball, you're kind of just like, okay, good pitch.
That's not how I react at all, by the way.
You go, strike.
No, Loogie, I'll tell you.
Evan's basically doing aerobics. So he's up, he's down, he's scoring a game, he's patting his head, he's a lunatic.
Here's what I think it is, and it makes no sense, but it's psychedelic. And I think anyone who's being honest who goes to games will admit this is true. When you go to a 20-degree Giant game, it's like, oh, it's a Giant game. It's cold. It's 20 degrees. When you go to a 45-degree baseball game, it's like the end of the world. Why? It's 25 degrees colder when you go to the football game, and yet the mentality is so different. Now, you bring up the cheering. Maybe it's that. Maybe it's just what you're watching. Maybe it's just what your body is physically used to. But there's a difference, and it's so weird.
Isn't it any different than when it's like mid-March and you get that 55-degree day and we can't wait to break out like shorts and a T-shirt, but the moment it turns 55 in September, October, like where are the hoodies and the pants?
Yeah, that could be it.
Same temperature.
That could be it. You're right. Like, we're just so not used to it. But here's the question. So on Monday night, there were two games going on at the same time. There was a Jet game at MetLife Stadium against Buffalo. It was a Yankee game at Yankee Stadium. The temperature was the same. Don't you think the Yankee fan went home complaining more than the Jet fan who's like, yeah, it's football, man?
Forget the fan. The Jet and Bill players, hey, no sleeves out there, look like a normal game.
Yeah.
Jazz Chisholm's dressed like a Teletubby.
Right, but that's just him. I think he just does that on probably all the time. He's like skinny. He's got meat to protect his body.
There is something to... I mean, Jazz Chisholm is like, he's from the Bahamas.
Mm.
Like, so for him, he's like, are you freaking
kidding me? His eyes were watering last night.
No, but again, Jazz Chisholm is a kid who grew up in the Bahamas.
Right.
He's
his
like,
blood
what is
so
this?
Thin. No, not really, but theoretically. What do they call it? Thin blood. You're in the heat for too long. Blood gets thin. You get cold really easy.
No, I get you. But I don't even think it's the, like, you're right that the players, because as a football player, you're just more used to it. You would know that. You played in cold weather. But I also think as fans, it's just a completely different mentality. So I get why you're laughing, Sean. I'm going to go to a Jet game in December, and it's going to be 27 degrees, and I'll be less prepared than I am tonight for a baseball game when it's going to be 25 degrees warmer.
But tonight, you're overprepared. I'm confident you're going to be the only person at Citi Field with hand warmers.
Oh, no, you're wrong about that.
No, I'm not wrong about that.
You're
not going camping. You're just going to a baseball game. It's not that cold for hand warmers.
No, I think what you're going to run into a problem. Now, my guess, since I don't know who brought Loogie to the game because he's going tonight.
Yeah.
So no one that I know got him a ticket leads me to think he's going press credential. Mm-hmm. That's what my logic is telling me.
With a backwards hat and a hoodie?
Yeah, I don't think he cares about the press credential rules. I think he's just going to show up and he's going to be like, I'm positive Tommy. And I think what Tommy's going to end up doing, because he's so unprepared, is he going to end up inside. And he's going to end up warm because he's going to be so not prepared for the cold weather.
I know this. We are on SNY right now. SNY does have a suite. Positive Tommy has been...
You're trying to finagle your way into the suite.
Come on.
Baseball Night New York is coming up later. Sal Licata's on that show. Sal's going to the game. We both technically work for SNY. I know you guys have a suite. So if you want to invite Positive Tommy into the suite, all you got to say...
Are you begging for a suite invite?
No, I'm begging.
Sounds like it.
I'm not begging. I'm just suggesting that, you know, you guys do have a swing.
That
There's plenty of room.
Like a beg.
Yeah, he's begging, man. Mm. He's trying.
And let's just say I do have a press credential. I'm new media, so I'm dressed like new media would be dressed. I'm allowed anywhere on the premises, even the locker room. So I'm allowed in the SNY suite. So SNY, once again, invite me in your suite.
You should go into the locker room if the Mets win and go up to each player and just say, you're welcome.
Oh,
you're welcome for the positivity.
Oh, that would be great.
Wouldn't that be kind of cool? Mm.
Yeah. You know what? We'll get Gallo
record
to
on your phone. Record on your phone. Exactly.
Yeah, you will. And I hope just let everybody go, who are you? What?
I think that would be the response every player
I
has.
I led you. Imagine that.
Do well, I know you?
One thing I do feel very weird about, I just saw some of the dignitaries that are at Citi Field tonight. Now, obviously, the big one is that Doc and Darryl are throwing out the first pitch. I think Darryl is throwing it to Doc. I just saw. This one gives me a stomachache. I got to tell you. I like both guys.
Wait, Darryl is throwing it to Doc?
Yeah, Darryl is throwing to Doc the first pitch tonight. Right. I saw two other dignitaries at this game tonight. I saw Carlos Beltran. Okay, I love Carlos. And he was posing next to Oliver Perez.
Oof.
Oh, God.
Who looks like he should be running for office. He's gray now. He looks like a senator.
If the New York Mets announce at some point during the game, we'd like to welcome once a Met, always a Met, Oliver Perez. What kind of reaction is he going to get?
Standing ovation.
No, he's not.
Are you serious?
Oliver Perez?
How long has it been?
Dude, when they got rid of him and they released him, his unceremoniously dumped, he was public enemy number one. And then he reinvented himself to his credit as a lefty reliever. They call them loogies. And so he would come back
on his mind.
Yeah, as a Washington Nationals lefty reliever. And Met fans boot him all the time. You're telling me if he's announced tonight, especially, it's kind of disrespectful because he had good moments as a Met, don't get me wrong, but he's remembered for all the bad.
Right.
But what would he have been remembered for if it wasn't for Aaron Heilman and it wasn't for Yadier Molina? He would have been remembered for that Game 7.
Yeah, he would have been remembered more fondly.
Remember, our rotation was all hurt, and he stepped up and pitched great.
He pitched very well. Willie Randolph should have taken him out, by the way, before Scott Rowland came up. That was the biggest mistake. But Andy Chavez bailed him out. You're right. Look, Beltran's kind of the same way. Like, Carlos will get cheered by Met fans, but if he doesn't strike out looking to end Game 7 of the NLCS, I think his reputation amongst Met fans would be very different. I don't know. I saw a picture of the two of them, and I got negative vibes.
How's it one moment that's for Beltran, at least?
Yeah.
At one moment, potentially sours people?
Oh, definitely, yeah.
One moment?
Yeah.
Huh.
Yeah. Well, you sound disgusted right now.
I mean, I will not talk about fandom. Met fandom.
Tiki, I'm not that guy, by the way. I love Carlos Beltran. Like, I really do. I had many arguments with Joe over the years about Carlos. It sucked that moment, and it was a bad moment, but I do not define him in a negative way because of that. I actually choose to remember a lot of the other moments. Like, I'll give you an example that no one remembers. 2 years later, final game at Shea Stadium, he had a huge home run, but no one remembers it because Scott Schoenweis blew it and the Mets lost.
Oh, God.
So I'm on your side in not, like, thinking one moment supersedes others. But I would be disingenuous if I didn't say that does to a lot of people.
And Carlos was great down the stretch. He was the only one basically hitting in that entire lineup. And I think Adam Wainwright, the career he had after that, I think should help Carlos. He took a nasty pitch from a great pitcher.
It doesn't. I think it should, but it doesn't. Like Yadi Molina, the same thing. Yadi Molina, when he hit that home run, was a 212 hitter. He was nothing.
Yeah.
Now, I think most of us would agree, he's a Hall of Famer. Like, I think Yadi Molina goes to the Hall of Fame. And so even though those two players, so central to that game in 2006, have absolutely gone on to amazing things, little did we know at that time what Yadi and Waino would be, I don't think it helps. Logically, you're not wrong, Tommy, but it doesn't.
So
like, it's still a bad moment in Met history.
Are they Bucky Dent? When the Mets win a World Series, Carlos Beltran, who still gets a good reaction, will be thought of differently. All those guys, Endy, all of them, Heilman.
Loogie, it's amazing you asked that question.
Hmm.
It's amazing. Last night, I kept thinking to myself about all the painful moments as a Met fan. Every one of them. Every one of them. You know who's there today, too, by the way? Speaking of painful moments, I swear to God, Jose Vizcaino. Are you freaking kidding me?
Good for Jose.
Jose Vizcaino, Tiki? Because Tiki was not happy about this. He was playing football, and they were stealing the spotlight. Vizcaino got the game-winning walk-off hit in Game 1 of the Subway World Series.
Great
and he's a former Met.
Yeah. Great Yankee.
Yeah. So he's at Citi Field. You got to be freaking kidding me with that.
In the fast-paced world of attacking, speed is everything. And that's where the Furon 7 Plus shines. Engineered for accuracy and precision at a rapid pace, it's your secret weapon on the pitch. Experience overall comfort and precise striking, even in the game's fastest moments. The nylon outsole, with its V-shaped stud configuration, is designed for firm ground, giving you the grip you need to outmaneuver your opponents. Step up your attacking game and learn more and purchase the Furon at NewBalance.com.
This is the secret story of a young Russian oligarch who hacked his way to a $93 million fortune
I'm CNBC senior Washington correspondent Eamon Javers. In our new podcast, The Crimes of Putin's Traitor, I'll take you inside a shocking Russian crime targeting the American financial system. Attacks that sources tell me were welcomed by Vladimir Putin's government. Listen to CNBC's The Crimes of Putin's Traitor free on the Odyssey app.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.